Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Toby Stapleton, and I'm the director of the UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. This is our annual broadcast from the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, and I'm here with my co-host, author, attorney, and regular co-host of Radio Entrepreneurs, Peter Meyerson. Peter, how are you?
I'm great, Toby. How are you?
I'm excellent. And what better location than to be broadcasting here from the shores of the South Watapa Pond in Fall River, the technology incubator that is part of UMass Dartmouth. And we're here with Roger Race from Boston Engineering, one of our tech venture companies, Boston Engineering's essentially marine division. And we're here to talk about Boston Engineering, but we're most excited to hear about some of the innovations going around the marine technology world and some of the programming that we've been building around that. And really, Roger has been at the center of that. So, Roger, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Toby. Good morning, Peter. It's great to be here. And it's always exciting to talk about marine innovation. I think we are in the center of the universe when it comes to that, right here in the CIE.
Well, I think that's a good place to start, Roger. When we think about the assets that we have here in the general assets that we have here in the state around innovation, there's no arguing that we are one of the top states when it comes to innovation. Whether you measure that through SBIR activity, venture capital activity, or the startup community that really we think of when we think of Boston or Cambridge or Kendall Square, which we're geographically distant from. When it comes to marine technology, what do you think about that?
I couldn't agree more, Toby. I think we are the center of the universe. We are blessed in the state of Massachusetts and in New England with having some wonderful institutes of higher education that is cranking out some really smart people. I think that that then trickles down into the fact that we are the Bay State. We are surrounded by water, and we know water, and we get the problems and difficulties in dealing with salt water. And we are also blessed with having some great companies on Cape Cod and here on the South Coast and up on the North Shore. And all together, they really are working very nicely and cooperatively. I think that there's a great spirit of sustainability and progress going forward for marine technology. And we see that in the marine maritime innovations event that's held here at the CIE. We had a great meeting yesterday with the MTS, the Marine Technology Society folks who want to collaborate and join up. So we're going to have a mashup of MTS TechSurge and the Maritime Innovation event in November. And it's going to be, I think, 2 days of real interesting dialogue between all of these great businesses. And we'll invite folks from Cape Cod to come on all the way up here to Fall River.
That would be good. Yeah. What does Boston Engineering do?
Boston Engineering, in a short version, is we are a provider of engineering services. So folks come to us with a problem, and we have solutions. We have mechanical engineers, electrical engineers, software engineers, system engineers.
How many employees do you have?
We have about 85 employees at this point in time.
Are they all in the facility here?
No.
So the main facility is up in Waltham, Massachusetts, right? The old Tech Highway 128. We have labs here because we're close to the water here, which allows us to get our boat and our equipment in the water very easily. There's very little salt water in Waltham.
Right. And not easily accessible.
And
at least right now.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, Roger, you brought up the Maritime Innovations Conference that we've been holding for the last few years that has brought together, it really has become one of the largest marine technology-focused events in New England, and it's been bringing attendees from as far away. Canada has been not only a supporter of the Maritime Innovations Conference, but last year we saw participants from at least five different countries, including Germany and Norway, as well as obviously Canada and a couple other countries who...
And the West Coast.
That's right.
I think you're right, Toby. We have been noticed, and I think our model for the Maritime Innovations event is a little bit different than the normal show model that is out there for oceanology or oceans or anything like that, where we provide detailed information on the state of the business community that's going on. We allow businesses to interact with other businesses in a very efficient manner, and we keep the costs and time low. Everybody, it's two things right now. It's time and money. I mean, money obviously is getting tighter and tighter, but everybody's time is more valuable. Right. I can't fly off to England for a week to do two sales calls. Right. It's not efficient. So having these tightly packed, reasonably priced business-to-business events, the feedback we're getting is it's the way to go forward. People really like that.
Right. And speaking of England and Europe, one of your colleagues recently, and someone that we know well in the marine technology world.
Oh, yes. My good friend Justin Manley came back from the business venture at Southampton, and all of his meetings there in Southampton with other European companies, they all say the same thing. This area is perceived to be the center of the universe for maritime sensors, maritime robotics, maritime equipment, and they all look to this region to get those solutions.
Why is that?
Why are we the center?
Yeah.
I think I can rattle them off. We have FSI, we have Teledyne, we have Hydroid, we have Bluefin Robotics, we have Ocean Server, which was just sold to a giant corporation, L3. So L3, this billion-dollar multinational corporation, realizes the validity of having a cool company right here.
So I think, you know, that one of the things I point to often is, you know, if you look at the Silicon Valley infrastructure, you've got large corporate users, and I think you just identified the fact that we have that industry base. So we have everything from the large companies, the Raytheons, the Teledynes,
exactly,
the Hydroids, as well as that startup community that
is here in New England.
Is,
and the startup, you're right, Toby, the startup is really, the entrepreneurs are here, and I love being on Entrepreneur Radio. This is the place where people in garages started up businesses down in Katahmet or down in Falmouth and built it up and grew it and have become vibrant, long-lasting businesses, some of which are now being acquired. We're noticing a big, awareness from the larger corporations that are now coming down going, geez, Ocean Server is a pretty good deal. Durval and his small Aquabotics doing a IPO in one day, oversubscribing for $7 million. It tells me this particular niche right now is very hot.
It's very interesting in the context that, you know, with the oil pricing going down.
Right. Or very low anyway.
Or very low. A lot of the value kind of got sucked out of some of the maritime.
Couldn't agree more, Peter.
You know, businesses. So to have people coming in and doing the acquisitions, you know, I haven't figured out whether it's because they're bargain prices or because they're just such good deals.
I think it's the latter. I think it is a good deal, and I think people who have a little bit of vision are going, hey, this is a great technology. This is a great space. After all, we live on a big blue water planet, and we know less about the bottom of the ocean than we do on the surface of the moon. And I think all of these big companies realize it's not only going to be oil and gas, which is certainly one component, but it's going back to food, aquaculture, transportation, and better understanding of the weather systems and climate and the water quality of our ocean. So I think it's many things. But you're right. I think the big companies are going, hey, these smart startup guys have done a good job. They're making money every year. They're cranking it out. And, you know, $5 million, $10 million, $7 million, whatever, $20 million, that's a bargain for L3. They come in and go, hey, would you want a check? You want a bag of money? Here we go. And I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised that they can really grow into this marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have the long view.
Yeah.
You know, which is, okay, so business isn't so great right now in some of the segments, but it'll come around.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm talking to my oil and gas friends. If you go back in time, 30 years. You can remember that, Peter. You go
I do, actually. Thank you. Yeah.
We go up, we go down, we go up, we down. It's sinusoidal. So right now, yes, I would say we're in the down phase. However, everybody agrees that it will come back, and it will come back with a vengeance. And what better place to be than somebody that provides the very cool maritime sensors, the very cool robotic vehicles, both surface and underwater, that allow you to do your job more efficiently and, again, save money and time.
So, and one of the things that you bring up, Roger, is that, you know, there are opportunities not just in vehicles, but sensors and other devices that do, you know, the environmental monitoring side of the house.
So we have companies here, Xylem's right next door, making sensors for dissolved oxygen, turbidity, conductivity, which along with temperature allows us to identify salinity of water, which then indicates the speed of sound, which is very important in doing sub-bottom side scan and acoustic work, because we have to know what the speed of sound is in that water column so that we get an accurate representation.
Not an easy task when you have to measure the temperature as well.
Exactly right, Peter. Exactly right. So all of these things, people don't realize that, that are all tied together. You think, I just go out and do a survey. Right. It requires a lot of scientific and engineering expertise.
Roger, what would you say to the startup or the entrepreneur who's in the audience today that is thinking about starting, getting
give
involved.
Give you a call, Toby. It's 1-800.
Well, since you brought it up, umassd.edu/innovate.
Shameless pitch.
But certainly, I agree with everything. I think that the opportunities in the marine tech sector and our ability to bring what the industry as well as the academic side of the house, as well as those large institutions which have to be part of that ecosystem. You have
exactly.
The Naval Undersea Warfare Center. You have the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. You have us, UMass Dartmouth, and our School of Marine and Science Technology.
Other universities are doing great things.
Right.
What I love are the fresh crop of kids that come out, kids that are really smart, and they have the opportunity to use so many cool bits of technology that didn't even exist 15 years ago. We have 3D printers now. I can pull up a model, go get it printed down at the machine shop here at the CIE, or we can send that out and get it printed, get back the next day and have a piece of technology, a computer the size of your cell phone that was more power than the Apollo astronauts had.
Right.
I mean, it's really a wonderful time
to
be an entrepreneur in the marine space, because there's so much need, and it's such a big space that we need more and more entrepreneurs doing interesting things in all areas.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, and Roger, I think you're right. I've got that, smaller, faster, cheaper mantra from you in terms of, what's happening in the vehicle space. And I think that's...
Yeah. Just look at when we first started, my friends at Bluefin Robotics started with a 21-inch vehicle, and then it went down to a 12 3/4, and they thought that was small. But recently, we've had a great startup, Riptide, who's come by here and shows up with a 3-inch diameter vehicle the size of basically a large pickle, and for $10,000.
Right.
No offense, Jeff, but I mean, it's a cool thing that it's gotten smaller, better, faster, and it's not gotten lost on folks like DARPA, who are going, well, gosh, I can buy 100 of these vehicles and really cover a large portion of the South China Sea and listen in on what's going on as that gets interesting over there.
Right. Interesting. Yeah. And so I think the point of the story is that the innovation is not by no means over in the marine tech.
Oh, no. It's a brand new vista. Come on in with great ideas. I'm working right now with the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth senior design kids, and they've come up with a new idea for a profiler that's better, faster, cheaper, working with Professor Ahmet, and it's just great. There's lots of opportunities here, and there are folks that are willing to fund that. There are SBIR monies, there's ONR money, DARPA money, as I said. Our Navy is always interested in making things better, faster, cheaper.
Right. Right. Well, great. This has been a great interview with Roger Race from Boston Engineering and one of the key leaders of the Maritime Innovations Conference that we do each year here at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. And I'm here with my co-host, Peter Meyerson.
It was great. Great interview, Roger. Okay. Really appreciated it.
Well, we look forward to seeing you at the Maritime event in
November. I'll be there. So this is Peter Meyerson with Toby Stapleton for Radio Entrepreneurs and for the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship at UMass Dartmouth, a beautiful facility that people should be really well aware of. And for Radio Entrepreneurs, we'll be back after the next message.